This is 55 on Friday, December 9th.
Okay, happy Friday. Happy last day of class.
Happy last class of the semester. Okay. Reminder, the final exam is on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock in this room. I will have some extra office hours on Monday from 2 to 4. Have thought about that before this morning and suddenly realized that there might be some last minute questions. So extra office hours from 2 to 4 on Monday. Do your course evaluations. EECS is getting dinged as looking bad relative to other BCEA schools. Our response rate is low, so some people get annoyed about this. But the point is, it's not that they're annoyed. The point is that the evaluations are helpful, so please do them. Let's see. What else? We will go over the sample exam today, and I do want to finish up a little bit about the firewalls and gateways. I think we're going to skip the how to break web business. You can read about it on the site or in the chapter. Why do I teach you how to break web when web shouldn't be used by anybody except to scare you? To not use web, you know. Okay. Well, we'll say a few words about that. Any questions? So the reason for sort of not doing that is to have more time to talk about any project problems that are still lurking, just in case, because I think there might be some. Sort of that.
In the event we get a ton of snow on Tuesday or whatever, will you send out an email if we have snow or if we have our final on Tuesday? It's kind of like just a precaution thing.
So the only reason that the final would not take place on Tuesday would be if the university were closed.
Right.
Okay. And in that case, you'd probably get that information in a lot of ways.
Right.
I'll take it on myself to let you know as well. If the university is closed, there won't be a final, and it will. I would not reschedule. And I don't think it would be expected to be rescheduled because there's no other way to with plans that are already in existence, we'd have to just do something else. And I don't know what that would be, and I'd rather not think about it unless it happens.
And I have one last question. So about the project, I read in the documentation that you wanted all headers, whether going from a client to your proxy server or coming from the server to your proxy server, and then all the post content and the transfer content. Is that what you want?
No, I don't want any content.
Okay. There's so anything that
I just want headers. I just want headers.
Okay.
Don't print out the content because the content is often binary and there's a lot of it and it obscures what's interesting.
Okay.
So don't print that. Others. So just a few last words about firewalls. Last words about firewalls. So a firewall sits between the outside and the inside, or sits at a boundary in general, and the idea is to try to keep traffic that is malicious from crossing the boundary in both directions. And we talked about stateless firewalls, and we talked about stateful firewalls, and there's another kind of firewall that is sort of a further refinement of the stateful firewall, which is called a deep packet inspection firewall. And a deep packet inspection inspection firewall not only looks at the headers, it actually looks into the content. It looks at the port number and says, oh, that's HTTP. I'm going to expect to see certain things in an HTTP packet. Some of them might be malicious, and if certain other things are not there, that might be malicious, so I won't let that happen. Okay? So deep packet inspection is sort of the latest and greatest in this technology. It works with varying degrees of success, sometimes preventing legitimate things from happening, and other times preventing bad things from happening. So WSU actually runs deep packet inspection. Some part paths in that was all I wanted to say about that.
All right.
And then going beyond firewalls, remember a firewall sits as a gatekeeper trying to keep bad stuff out. What happens if bad stuff actually gets into your network? You might want to know about that, right? And so that's the role of something called intrusion detection systems, which are devices that sit on your network and monitor the traffic. And I should be a little more careful. They come in two flavors. One is devices that sit on the network, and others that sit on hosts. They're just programs that run on hosts to monitor the incoming traffic to see if there are patterns that look like bad behavior. They also use deep packet inspection typically in order to figure out what's happening in there. And they come in a couple of flavors. It's a two-dimensional thing, right? There's network-based and host-based, which network-based means you're looking at all the traffic on the network. Host-based means you're looking at just a particular host on that host. And then the other flavor is what's called anomaly-based or pattern-based. And a pattern-based IDS is one that's looking into the packets to see if they match a signature of something that's known to be bad. Okay? So, some particular worm or virus is known to be out there, it gets configured into the IDS, and it will sort of look for patterns that correspond to that known attack. The other version is called anomaly-based. And in an anomaly-based IDS, what we're looking for is traffic that doesn't conform to the usual patterns of traffic on that network. Which one of these do you think is harder? Anomaly-based, right? Because anomaly-based means that you actually have to figure out what is normal for your network, or it has to figure out what is normal for your network. They typically use machine learning kinds of algorithms, if you've taken machine learning, to configure themselves to determine what's usual. But one of the problems with that is that a slow attacker, an attacker who sort of mounts the attack a little bit at a time, can actually train the anomaly-based IDS to think that the attack traffic is normal. So lots of complications in this field to try to do this. So anyway, I thought that was interesting and wanted to say something about it. Okay. So, like I said, we're not going to talk about how to break WEP, but we have talked about important stuff here in this chapter: cryptography, message integrity, endpoint authentication. We've talked about TLS and IPsec. We didn't talk about 802.11, and we talked about firewalls. Okay, so that's pretty much the summary of this chapter, what we've talked about. Are there any questions about chapter 8? Okay. Then let us look at the full exam. As usual, you may have one sheet of notes, both sides, typewritten or handwritten, that's fine. No computers, no cell phones, no neighbors, no notes, except for what the computers or the
neighbors.
No neighbors, yeah. But you may have a calculator. You may have guessed from the previous exams that a calculator is not very helpful, usually, although it might be. Yes.
You're saying it might be for this one because I can see.
No. It won't. The problems won't be any different in character than what they were before.
Okay. Because when I say encryption, I could see it being pretty helpful.
Maybe. I mean, if you're comfortable with sort of multiplication and division for 3 or 4 digits without it. I'm not going to make you do division over.
That's for sure. Assuming we're not going to have to do like a whole lot of crazy calculations with RSA, like, I don't think it's pretty huge.
They can, but I could choose one to go.
Can or will?
The problem is that if you bring a typical calculator and I don't choose well, even with a calculator, the numbers are too big, right? So I've got to choose numbers that are. You're getting a hint that there might be a problem about RSA. Mm-hmm. Let me think. We'll see that. Okay. I'm going to skip and point to something at the end of this before I do the individual problems. So I was finishing this and I realized that this particular sample exam is rather light on problems from chapters 6 and 8 relative to what I said that this exam would be sort of half chapter 6 and 8 and then a quarter of the other two or something like that, sort of in that range. So just be aware of that this exam is like that. And in particular, for chapter 6, make sure that you know about hidden terminals and CSMACA and how it works and why it's used rather than CSMACD and that sort of stuff. Okay, that's the main thing from chapter 6. For chapter 8, there's nothing in this exam about certificates and certificate authorities, and there's only a tiny thing in here about public key cryptography. And the thing that often trips people up on questions about public key cryptography is making sure that you know the roles of the two parts. There are 4 keys involved in public key cryptography, right? There's Alice's private key, Bob's private key, Alice's public key, and Bob's public key, right? All 4 of those. And what you got to make sure that you understand is the role of all 4 of those keys in encryption and in signing. Okay? The answers are different between the two. So you got to know about all 4 keys in both settings. Okay? That's the thing that gets people tripped up. I try to give just totally gimme questions about that. You know, that if you understand those things, easy to get full credit. And every year people mess it up. So it should be, those should be gimme questions. Right. Just give me the points.
So expect a lot more from chapter 6 and 8 things on the.
Than what you see on this okay. Exam. Okay, well, let's see. Where do we start? Protocol layers, you know? Fundamental, yeah.
Are you recording by any chance?
Am I recording by any chance? Yes, I am. Am I recording both places? I am in both places. I had a specific request to do recording today, even, so I remembered to start. Okay. So layers, TCP connection establishment protocol, the three-way handshake. I'm looking for a few sentences that sort of capture the idea. A few sentences and illustrative, not illustrative, but step by step. Yeah, this packet is sent. This packet is constructed and sent. So on and so forth. What are the ACK fields, the SYN fields, blah, blah, blah. Okay, make sure that you understand how TCP ACK numbers work, and remember sort of lots of people going off the rails on that question on the midterm, getting confused about the sequence numbers in ACKs. The sequence number in a packet and the ACK number in a packet are not related to each other. Sequence number is related to the ACK in packets going the other direction, and the ACK is related to the sequence number in the packets going the other direction. Right? So make sure that's clear. Network addressing. We've done these problems. Okay, bandwidth delay product questions, and their effect on window sizes, achievable throughput, stop and wait protocol versus protocols with bigger window sizes. A stop and wait protocol has essentially a one packet window, right? Because you send a packet and you wait for it to come. If you have a bigger window, then you have the opportunity to achieve higher throughput. Remember that picture. Remember the picture. I love this picture. See if I can describe the picture well enough that you remember it. It was a picture with vertical bars down the side, and it had packets going, well, from your perspective, left to right. And ACKs coming back in the other direction, and with stop and wait, we had a packet that went this way, and then there was a long blank space, and then the ACK going back. And with a bigger window size, we had packet, blank space, with ACKs going back. And we said the utilization was the amount of that space on the left-hand side that was occupied by the blue stuff, as opposed to the nothing happening stuff. So that's utilization. People got messed up on utilization before, so make sure you know that. Now, we didn't actually have an exam question about how the TCP congestion window varies over time this semester, but we did have a homework problem about it. This is the picture, remember, where trying to do it from your perspective, we have TCP slow start, where it's growing exponentially, and then a linear growth pattern, and then congestion happens, window size is reduced, and we do maybe either linear growth or exponential growth. Know what those phases are about. Know why there's exponential growth at the beginning, why there's linear growth, and why it drops precipitously when congestion occurs. What's that called? Additive increase, multiplicative decrease. Terminology that needs to be on your radar. Exponential weighted moving average, round times and variation. By now, select should be old hat. So what does it mean when different things happen? Other system calls similarly that we've used. You know, what does it mean when something does something or other? Or what does that system call do? Our standard how to set up a TCP connection, right? Socket, bind, listen, accept on the server, socket, connect on the client, etc.
And the code samples on the other book are good for this? Like the ones you TCP Echo Client and Echo ones?
Yeah. Those are the ones we talked about, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, in the other book. Okay, so see, here's an example of an RSA problem. So what is AMP?
P times Q.
P times Q, which is? Can you do that in your head?
No.
You just did. You're a liar. Okay, so 55. What is Z?
Q minus 1
times Q minus 1, which is 4 times 10. Can you do that in your head?
Try.
Yeah, try.
I don't know if I can do it in the morning.
But maybe not at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. All right. Why is E equal 27 an appropriate choice for an encryption key given this P and Q? What's the condition?
Has to be less than Z and
has to be relatively prime to Z. All right. That's the okay. Yeah. Okay. Has to be relative. So that's the essential knowledge. Then the arithmetic is simply what are the factors of E? 3. What are the factors of 40? 2 and 5, right? So it's relatively prime. We could do that. Why is D equal 3 the correct choice for the corresponding decryption key? So again, what's the condition that D times E mod Z equals 1? Well, D times E is 81 mod 40 is 1. I think we could mostly do these in our head, but if you want a calculator, it's okay. Although calculators and mod are not often friends.
We know 5 and 11 work. Can we just have
Maybe. If the ciphertext C equals 20, what was the original message M? Now, this is a harder one. Can we do this one in our head? It's 20 to the 3 power.
8,000,
yeah. Maybe not in our head. Maybe with pencil and paper, but not in our head. We need to calculate. Okay, 8,000 mod 55. Well, that one's
gonna be rough.
That one's a little harder, but maybe not too hard. 550 and
we're going to 8,000.
And not 800.
I did it too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 5,500, and then we've got 2,500 left, and, you know, we could probably do it. But what? You might want to count. And the other thing. Sorry. Yes, there's an easier way. We're doing it the hard way. So let's see if we can do it the easier way. What's 400 mod 55?
Well, 440.
Okay.
Goes in there exactly. Like fits in exactly.
Okay.
55 minus 55. That would be 15 from 400.
Okay. All right. So suppose we believe that. Then. Okay. So then we multiply that by 20, you get 300, and have to do 300 mod 55, and that wouldn't be too hard to do either.
Okay. Make sure you bring your calculators.
but notice that even with a calculator, this could get very large, but you can do it step by step because you can do. You could do C squared first and do that mod 55 and then multiply that by C again and do that mod 55 and never have to deal with 8,000.
Just bring a calculator to mod.
Which don't do mod, remember?
Well, you can divide the number and then multiply it by
I understand. It might be faster to just figure it out. Yeah.
So more on point, I guess. We're to assume once we do figure out what M is, we're to assume that that's a whole message, not just the one letter, right?
That's right. Here,
I assume it's a high enough
what
number.
What just happened here? Oh, because I don't have it plugged in. All right. So remember, the way this works is we're treating the message as a number.
So it'll be the binary representation.
It'll be a number. It'll be a binary representation, doesn't matter.
So you just want...
It's just a number.
The final number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. In public key cryptography, the message is considered to be a number. If they're identical.
That works.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the message, remember, has to be less than... the product of P and Q.
So we don't need to know like the ASCII values?
No.
No. Would just writing the equation be good enough?
Let me say that question. Is just writing the equation good enough? Just writing the equation is good enough for parcel credit. However, I generally find that people get better understanding of what's going on by working out what the number is. Now, in this case, maybe they don't get better understanding, but that's my general principle, which applied to this case, nevertheless, encourages me to want numbers. Okay? And that's true for other things, other places that formulas come up. Round trip times, right, exactly. I think there's more understanding to be had by working it through to a number and then thinking about what the number means in the context of the problem. So, for example, if I ask you based on distance and speed of light what the round trip time is across the country, and you come back and tell me 2 seconds because you made a simple mistake in your formula, or a simple mistake in the calculation, I say, you haven't really thought about the problem. You haven't said that doesn't make sense. Speed of light across the country and back is not 2 seconds. Just, doesn't make sense. And so, I encourage you to take that approach in your life. Not just to the exams. Cryptographic hash functions. What's important for a hash function to be considered cryptographic? We didn't talk a lot about this. Ken went over it kind of quickly. But what is important? We have hash functions like the internet checksum function. Why is that not a good hash function? I did talk about that. I sort of talked about it in a backdoor way. Why is the internet checksum function not a good, is not considered a cryptographic hash function? Pardon? Yeah, because given a hash value, it's easy to find a message that corresponds to that hash value, and given a change in a message, it's easy to predict the change in the hash value. Right? So, those are things that make it not good as a cryptographic hash function. The point of a cryptographic hash function is that somebody who doesn't know the key that's used in the HMAC is not able to produce a message that matches the hash value. Sorry. I said that wrong. Be careful. The point of the cryptographic hash function is that somebody is not able to produce a different message that has the same hash value as the given message. So, Okay, then how do HMACs work? Hash message authentication codes. It's a little bit different from how public key cryptography works. So make sure you know that. Why is UDP sometimes better than TCP? I'm not going to give you another calculate a CRC function. We did that once already. We've had our fun at that. We don't need to do that again. But about this length, and like I said, more chapter 6 and 8 questions than you see here. Okay. Any questions?
Will we be allowed another page of notes for the time? Or is it close?
It says at the beginning. One page of 1 8.5 by 11 page of notes, front to back, type your hand. You bet.
So, I saw on your website, there wasn't really any reading to a firewall type stuff. Is that maybe the only test? I know on the homework they described it once today. There were some questions on like the firewall settings and things like that.
Not in detail. Not in the sense of build a firewall table to do X or Y. But certainly, what's the difference between a stateless firewall and a stateful firewall? We'll talk about that. And so it wouldn't be build a table, but what would be the difference in the tables between a stateless and a stateful firewall?
Okay.
What additional information would be in a table for a stateful firewall that might not be in a stateless? Others? Okay. Well, let's stick with that topic closed and see if there are project questions. Yes?
So CNN works fine?
CNN works. Well, I think most people would feel that if they managed to get CNN working, they had done a pretty good job.
Okay.
I don't know that it tests everything, but it certainly has been the most challenging thing for most people. Did you guys figure it out?
It was showing that the client was sending the messages like the express at the same time.
I went home and I thought about it a little bit more, and the only thing I can think of is that our mutual mental model of what that receive is doing is wrong somehow. That's the only thing I can think of right now.
I just for testing, I tried someone else's proxy project that worked on their computer and another person's computer on my computer, and it didn't work at all. I don't know.
Oh. Do you have a firewall on your computer?
Well, I mean, it didn't work for CNN, but like, I mean, I don't know.
But you're doing everything on your computer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that doesn't matter for our project, because our project didn't work on my RT. But I'm just saying that, like,
So, we were able to get CNN not on WSU's network. Like, if I'm at home, CNN will work instantaneously every single time. As soon as I try it here on the WSU's network, I'm dead in the water. I get absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if there's a reason for that, or if people are overlooking, or maybe that's something else someone's running
into. No, I have that too.
Okay. So if you have behavior like that, make sure that you get it in the comments or README file,
okay,
so the TA is aware of the fact that
it's going to be really hard to test that when she has office hours here.
Right, and you know, something's still wrong, right? There's something we don't understand. If you visit CNN without your proxy on the WSU network, does it work?
Yeah.
Right. So probably going to have to dig into sort of exactly what's happening
Maybe by using something like Wireshark to figure it out. I don't know.
I'm in the same boat. Like if it's at home, everything works
fine.
I've done it on my work computer too, and it won't even like take action. It'll get I'll get the header from the client, which is the browser. But anytime I try to send to the server, it just says,
it waits. It stalls right there.
It stalls, and then it comes back and says there's an error message that And I think it's capturing it because it worked. It works sometimes when I shut my computer down and turn it back on. And then it'll send the connection one time, and then it'll stop right after that.
Wow!
So it's like
it just doesn't like the packet. See, this is what I said. WSU is using these deep packet inspection filters, and you know, I don't know what's good.
Sir, I noticed in your
PDF, if you listen, please.
In your PDF, it says at the beginning, it says submit a makefile if needed, and then at the end, it says submit a makefile. So I don't know if that's does it mean it's optional or
it means if it's needed.
I also submit a project without a makefile, like a solution, like a C# solution without a makefile.
I want the PA to be able to build the project. So the idea of the makefile is clear, essentially clear and hopefully automated instructions on how to build the project. That's the point of a makefile. There's nothing intrinsically valuable about a makefile.
Right. Just that if I could save myself the time to do it, that would have been nice.
Others? Yeah.
Let's take a look. Oh, I thought it said you should look at these. I thought what it said, now that you remind me, is that you should look at these for a review, but you don't have to turn them in.
In the middle, it's something like, for this problem, think about why or why
not. Okay, all right. Okay, so, all right. Might as well go ahead and look and see what it actually says. Problems with the chat room. For P21, also consider whether it's possible to continue using the session after those. Oh, no. Okay. No, those are all part of the assignment. Okay. The reason the for P21 is at that location is it immediately follows P21. Okay. It was it for chapter 6 that I gave some problems that were not to be turned in? So I will go write answers to these and post them tomorrow, meaning that chapter 8 turned in after they're posted. I won't post them, I will email them. So after I send the email, then. Okay, anything else? Yes.
For the comments file, you said to show like a few of our tests. Do you want us to include like the headers we print, the output, or do you just want us to like describe what happened?
The header, including the headers, would be good.
Okay.
Maybe not all of the headers. You know, if like CNN probably has 100 different requests, you may not want to. Do all of those.
Maybe like an example of
an example of something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, going once. I will be around the office for the next hour or so if somebody wants to come by with debugging problems or something. And with that, so you guys are the last class that I'm teaching at WSU, as far as I know. So this is the last class of the last class of the year. Well,
big surprise.
Well, you never know. So
no one's substituting for you, so you don't have to stay.
So
Anyway, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed this talk a lot. I like the topic a lot. And enjoy having you all. So have a great weekend. Get those projects done. Study hard. And I'll see you on Friday morning.
Tuesday morning.
Indeed.
Wait, what?
This is Friday morning.
We have to prep our final
Tuesday,
on Friday.
Tuesday morning.